Last year, Aussies were scammed out of over $300 million. Phone scams.
It's a scam.
But it's not a scam.
Identity theft.
Who are you, really?
Even on Tinder.
The man I love was never real. Everything's a lie.
So who's doing it? How do we avoid it? And can you get your money back?
How did this happen?
On Mix 94.5, it's Pete, Matt and Kimber's Scam Week.
All right, looking around the room, hands up, who's getting scammed at the moment?
Oh, I mean, I feel like I'm being scammed by the world in general, but not an actual scam.
Have you guys seen my new contract?
And those cheeky text messages and emails and all sorts of stuff, and they're getting bloody good. But what happens after you get scammed? Like, if it actually happens to you, can you recover things? Brendan Facey is the Senior Executive Leader of ASIC's Misconduct and Breach Reporting Team and Head of the Scams Task Force, and he joins us now. Thank you for your time, Brendan.
Very welcome.
Brendan, how much are we losing to scams every year? I mean, most of the time people say it's money, but we're not really sure now that we're getting all these text messages and stuff. We just don't know what we're being scammed for.
Lots of people are getting lots of these messages. The scammers have got much more sophisticated. And a couple of years ago, when many, many more people began working from home, the electronic scams saw a real rise. And the scammers try all sorts of different things in all sorts of different ways. The only surefire way of getting your money back is not to have lost it in the first place.
Sure.
It can be very hard because many of these scams are overseas, of course. And then once your money goes overseas, it's incredibly difficult to recover it.
And Brendan, you quite rightly say the best way to avoid this is to not be scammed, but we're starting to see the complexity of these people be so high that it's even for those of us that think we're quite savvy and can recognise something that smells a bit off, it's starting to become very difficult. They're so elaborate with their operation. I mean, how can you really tell?
There are a few ways and things that you need to do. The first thing to say to people is don't rush into something. Ask questions. If a business or investment scheme looks like it doesn't have a financial services license number, then ask the person about it. And some of the telltale signs of scams are people cold calling or texts with links in them. Some of these things will have spelling mistakes. There have been a real rise of the scammers using celebrities' likenesses. Ask a question. Get some advice. And take your time and make a decision, because there are things you can look out for. The ASIC's Money Smart site has some very good tips for people, and we would recommend that people go and have a look at those things.
Brendan, I know you say the money goes overseas, but do you know exactly where this money is going?
There are all sorts of places all over the world that where scammers are operating from. That's the real difficulty. As we get to a life that's more convenient for us electronically, we've all got our phones and we're transacting our business on our phones, but that creates the opportunity for scammers as well, and one of the reasons why it's so important to stop and ask questions and get advice where you need it.
What's the process of getting the money back, Brendan? Say someone's been scammed and I don't know how much by do you need to report it, but what do they do when that happens?
If you've been scammed at all, you can report it. First thing you need to do is stop and not send any more money. You need to report it to your bank, because they're in a very good position to help stop things if transactions haven't finished. You report it to your police. You can certainly report it to ASIC or on ScamWatch through the ACCC, and make sure that you don't compound your losses by continuing to be scammed.
Okay, well, hopefully that's helped people listening to this answer a few questions they may have about what's going on around us, because scams are everywhere, even more rife than they have ever been. Brendan Facey from ASIC's Misconduct and Breach Reporting Team. We appreciate your time this morning, mate. Thank you.
Thanks very much for having me.
This morning we're speaking to Dr. Liam Pomfret. He's an expert on consumer behaviour and a board member of the Australian Privacy Foundation. Now, the APF are the people that are dedicated to protecting people's privacy rights, which comes in incredibly handy when you're trying to battle scammers, which we all seem to be. But good morning to you, Dr. Liam, and thank you for your time this morning.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Dr. Liam, we question how are people still falling for scammers when we are talking about this all the time, but they're getting a little bit more aggressive, and it's almost bullying until the point people, I guess, feel fear and then give up information.
Yes, well, that's exactly the point with what they're trying to do. They don't want people to think deeply about what's happening. They want people to be in a rush, in fear, feeling a sense of urgency, like they have to act now to resolve this issue. Because, of course, as soon as you look into these scams, they just completely fall apart.
Doctor, okay, so the thing that, like, I'm, you know, reading through this and getting into this is that, you know, they're becoming very good at these psychological manipulation tactics, which to me says training is involved. Now, I don't know how far your organisation goes into this or the experience that you have with understanding what is going on the other end of the line when you do pick that up. But are these organisations getting that good that they're actually training people in rather large numbers and treating these as a real business?
I mean, for them, it is a real business. Mm. I mean, before I got into privacy, I actually used to work in the outbound call centres doing market research calls. And they would have got a lot of the same training that I got there in yeah. terms of how to deal with people on the other end of the line, to get them to stay on, to allay their concerns about the call. Only in this case, it is, well, the concerns are quite valid. In many cases, these scams may be coming from the same call centers that otherwise would have handled legitimate tasks as well. Not every company is necessarily completely ethical about which customers they work with.
This is another one of those situations where I feel like, you know, we all, as a community, we've been aware of this for quite some time. We keep putting out the warnings. The very people, and I think about my elderly parents are not with me anymore, but they were certainly the sort of people that would watch, you know, a current affair and talk about, see the story about scammers, and then the next minute be the ones who are on the phone thinking that they were talking to someone legitimate. How do we get the message through? Because it feels like it's been there, it's been in the public conversation for a long time, and yet people are still very quick to fall for these things.
Yeah, I mean, as we said at the start, a lot of the time it's about getting the victim to switch off, to not engage their brain and think about it. Mm. The problem isn't awareness. People are aware of these scams. The problem is getting people to think at that particular point in time
yes.
that this might actually be a scam.
When someone's pressuring them. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm.
Be discerning.
Particularly at a time like now when all of us are stressed with everything else that's happening,
yeah,
this is probably when we're at our most vulnerable. We have so many other issues to deal with. Many people probably have other debts, things that they're barely above water with, and then they get hit by another thing, and it's like, well, it just seems very plausible to them that, oh, no, I must have forgotten to put that payment in.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I forget my Amazon payment every month.
Sure.
That's yeah. for sure. And I get those phone calls. Dr. Liam Pomfret, we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you very much for giving us your expertise.
No, you're very welcome. Thank you.
What is this joke? Some kind of scam?
On Mix 94.5, it's Pete, Matt and Kimber's Scam Week.
Guys, we're talking about scammers at the moment. It's Scam Week. But what about scamming the scammers?
Oh, that'd be nice. Get some back.
Oh, yes. Now, I believe this is one of your mates, Kimber.
Indeed. My friend Katie, she finds great entertainment, really, in scamming the scammers and then posting it on Facebook for all of us to enjoy the conversations. How are you, Katie?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're great. Katie, what first got you interested in thinking, I'm going to scam these guys and just string them along?
Originally, because they contacted me, I thought, okay, it's obviously not real. And I've seen shows on telly and stuff and elderly get scammed. So I thought, well, if I'm stringing them along, then they're not wasting their time. I'm wasting their time rather than them, you know, getting vulnerable people. So
okay, like a community service. Because I was going to ask you, how do you find the time to do this? You know,
Kimber knows I have a lot of time on my hands.
Yeah, talk us through. So give us an example of what you might do and how it might kick off.
Okay, it used to be Facebook, but now it's Instagram because Facebook picks them up pretty quick. So Instagram, you'll get a follow, then they'll contact you and they're like, hello, happy to meet you. And then you look at their page and it's really obvious because the page is a couple of days old. All the photos are very similar looking men, usually military or an engineer on a oil rig. They like that.
Oh, do they? Okay.
Yeah, because that sort of can mean anything, so they can sort of answer any vague questions on it. And then they start talking, and honestly, like, it's the funniest thing. They go straight and telling you how they're a widower and their child died and their wife died, and then in a car crash going to the supermarket, and like, it's just hilarious. And then I take them through all the rubbish. Then they always take you off the app and they take you to Hangouts or WhatsApp.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yep.
So that you can't be caught because it'll be encrypted somewhere else?
Yes, they can't get blocked on there. Or they, you can block them, but they can't get caught from the admins and stuff. So they take you there and then they start their spiel, and it's usually they have a book on it or internet on it. It's always the same sort of thing. And then I take them through and I go to the bank while they wait for days maybe, and I do horrible things to them.
So they normally come through with some sort of a
sob
like,
story,
could you send me this money? Now, they don't normally kick off with, I need 20 grand, right? They're sort of, they build you up.
Yeah, some are different. It depends on who it is. Like, if you get the famous ones, like I've got Keith Urban and
So, okay, we're not just talking about a bloke on an oil rig here. You've got someone pretending to be Keith Urban.
Oh, yes.
Well, asking for money.
Yeah.
Bloody hell. I thought his last album did all right.
I was always broken up with Nicole and they're having hard times, but it's not on the internet. Like...
Brilliant.
Hattie, what celebrities have you apparently spoken to so far?
Okay, so I've had Keith Urban, many Keith Urbans. Shannon Knoll, he's a popular one.
I mean, Katie, that could be Shannon
Knoll. Yeah, that could be, yeah.
And then they ring you with a Nigerian accent pretending to be Knowlesy.
Really? Oh. So
well, after he's had a couple of bourbon and cokes, he does sound a bit like that.
Katie, you've actually gotten to the point where they've called you on the phone, so they try to show that they're legit. But they obviously have foreign accents and they're still pretending to be Keith Urban.
Yes.
When they do that, Katie, does the number come through like Nigerian or somewhere that clearly Urban doesn't live?
No, they buy phone numbers.
Yeah, right.
They buy them through the US, a VoIP call or something.
Right.
So, it comes up as an American number
Katie, it's really nice to talk to you this morning. Keep having fun.
I will.
Scam week. Guys, there's a lot of scams going about. They're everywhere.
Mm.
There's a scam right now looking at you, ready to take over your life.
Yes.
And wants you. A man who knows his way around scams, not as in he's done them.
No.
But as in he knows how to protect you from them, is everybody's favourite tech bloke, Trevor Long from EFTM, and he joins us now. Good morning, Trev.
How do you know I'm not a scam?
We don't.
No, exactly.
All the best to you, buddy. Take care.
It's been good.
Well, I guess that's
and you
it,
know what?
Trev.
Can I just say, that to me is a really important thing to say, because it really is important that you question everything.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds ridiculous, but the problem with scams is they trick us. They make us – false sense of security is what lulls us in to click those buttons. You've got to question everything, every phone call, every email, every text. That's what matters.
Okay.
Yeah. Even I had friends who were on the overseas trying to organise their visa to move to Australia, and we'd been talking about it, and then suddenly over – Facebook Messenger, he said to me, oh, I need you to give me your full name, your passport number. And I was like, all of a sudden, I didn't trust him. And I wrote to him and said, okay, mate, if you were at a bar and you were going to do a karaoke song, what song would it be? Because I knew what my friend would say. And when he gave the correct answer, I was like, okay, you can have my info.
Oh, okay, yes.
Nice. That's good work. It's really important information that you're being asked to hand over. things that you need to protect in your life are your passport number, driver's license number, date of birth, and address. But the more you think about handing over your details, so for example, come up with a fake birth date, just your online birth date. And that's the birth date you use when you're signing up for a shopping site or, you know, discount deals site, because they are never going to need your real birth date, ever. And the same way that I say always use an online credit card. If you've got a credit card or a debit card that has access to all of your money, sign up with your bank to one that has a $1,000 limit, which means that you can never be scammed out of more than $1,000 if you're using that credit card online.
Trev, we've talked before about something like Matt had brought it up where, you know, someone went to go and book a doctor's appointment and you think you're booking it online and it actually goes through an outside centre and they're asking for your date of birth to verify who you are, but then you've suddenly given your information to an external source. But without doing that, you can't book your appointment.
I'm the same. I'm like, you know what, I'm better off just ringing up and booking, because handing over all that information to a third party doesn't really feel necessary.
No.
But it's really about what the doctor needs at the other end. So there's a balancing act between how important it is to hand over that information and who's needing it.
Trev, in the world of scamming, and we're all becoming very frightened, and we seem inundated by these things, are there any that we can sort of just cross off and not worry so much about? I'm thinking the phone calls where there's no one on the end of the phone, or...
They all mean something.
Okay.
So let me give you an example. When I get those phone calls and it's just nothing there, you think, what's going on here? And you go, hello, hello, and then it just goes, blip, hangs up. It's them validating a phone number.
Okay.
Because you've got to remember, there's nothing to stop anyone calling anyone. Mm. You know, I could call Scott Morrison, Prime Minister Scott Morrison, if I had his number.
Sure.
Now, I don't have his number, but I could dial every single number combination. I will get him at some point.
Mm.
That's what scammers are doing. They're just dialing every number. And when you pick up, it validates the number. In the same way that when you respond to an email and say, go away, leave me alone, you're actually telling them that you're real.
So what if it goes to the message bank, though? Does that still validate it?
It will still validate it.
So what do you do?
It's a call.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do.
Okay.
Honestly, there is nothing you can do other than engage as little as possible.
Trevor, one of the things that I noticed coming back to PC was the little McAfee pop-up window. Those scam softwares that are meant to protect you, I never had those on Apple, and I didn't even realise that in this day and age they are still a thing. Are they still a thing? Do you need them anymore?
Absolutely. It doesn't matter whether you're Apple or PC, you should have internet security software. So if you do a search on the internet for a certain thing, it'll actually scan those websites and say, don't click on this one. It'll actually stop you from clicking on a bad website. And so the software that is out there, McAfee, Trend, Micro, those kind of companies, it's like insurance. You don't drive a car without insurance.
Okay.
In most internet security softwares, and there's only four big companies that do it, McAfee, Trend Micro, Kaspersky, and Norton. If you have one of those, they will essentially be your guide. They will be the ones that tell you, do you want this? And you'll say yes if you don't know what it is. Take their advice every step of the way.
Mm-hmm.
For more on this, EFTM, that's where you head and catch up with everything that Trevor Long is across. Thanks for your time this morning, mate. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Good advice for people. I think it's a great idea to be doing this.
What is this joke? Some kind of scam?
On Mix 94.5, it's Pete, Matt and Kimber's Scam Week.
Guys, it's Scams Week, and we've spent a lot of time talking about scams that fleece you out of money.
Mm-hmm.
But as this woman puts it herself, sometimes scams are about love.
Yes.
And her name is Nandita Chakraborty. Her great story, incredible story, has actually helped her realise a book by the name of Dirty Little Secrets, which you can go and pick up. And she joins us now. Good morning to you, Nandita.
Good morning. Thank you for having me at the show.
Oh, thank you for sharing your story. This is something that we think a lot of people are victims of, love scams online. And it was so believable. Tell us how it kicked off for you.
Well, being of the South Asian culture, you know, when you come, you get to a certain age and it becomes a little bit for the family. And then you get yourself in a matrimonial site and then you go through go through Tinder. Next. And unfortunately, I met Sam, who mentioned himself that he's from Scotland, stays in America, and he ticked all the right boxes. And when you're looking for, not for love, but to settle, right? And if someone gets too personal too quick, you believe that it's, of course, he's there to, you know, fall in love with you and give you everything. We got to know each other and things were going pretty good. But it went pretty bad as well. So when he started saying that I've been robbed at gunpoint in Greece, because he was supposed to come and meet me when we spoke about the families and everything, a so-called sister that he produced for me as well. There was no word from him where he was. And then suddenly I get a call in the middle of the night that he's been robbed. And first he asked for $200. And, you know, it makes you believable because $200 is not a big amount, you know. But then somewhere along the line, you know, there was something that was niggling. Oh, my God, should I give it? Or what should I do? So I just wanted to hold in. And then it became a little bit of annoyance when the sister called as well. And then suddenly there was a radio silence from him for at least a week. And then I get a very scary letter that made me just, what do I say, lock myself in the house for a week, not go out. And that was so scary and was chilling to the bone. So, yeah.
What was that letter, Nandita, if you can tell us?
Yeah, the letter was that I will make you pay for every dollar that I've asked.
Nandita, can I ask you, did you ever speak to him on the phone at all? So you spoke to him on the phone and you got quite comfortable and then the letter came. But was there at any particular point over getting to know him where sort of bells went off for you, even just a little bit?
Not really, to be honest, not at all, because I was in a matrimonial site, right? And people actually put themselves out there for the right intention. So even I was there for the right intention. And in an arranged marriage in a South Asian culture, you will know that, like, it has to happen very quick.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you bring up such a valid point, Nandita, about the power of love. And, you know, it isn't something to be ashamed of. And it doesn't matter what age you are. We've all seen that love can turn even the most wise, so-called, and logical of us into completely irrational beings. And that's a good feeling.
That is correct. And I agree with you because it's very important for young people to also know that, because this should not stop them from falling in love. You know, this should actually, don't fall so quickly. That's what I'm trying to say.
Sure.
And also I'm not telling them to judge people also too quickly as well.
And when it comes to love, you know, you legitimately can't fall in love unless you give yourself and trust the other person. And so you are automatically set up to be at risk. And particularly too with women we see now with, you know, intimate photos and everybody shaming and not being able to bring that up and it still being something that is just not talked about and something that, you know, until very recently and in many places we don't even have laws to protect women or men against revenge porn and all of the things that can be posted, you know, blackmailing you for €3,500 and saying, I'm going to put these photos out there, that does make you locked in your house and stuff like that, because that can lead to post-traumatic stress disorder. That leads to a lot of other issues down the track. It's not just the money.
Yes, and look, also when my sister pushed me when I told the story, and I think my sister was very brave enough to tell me that go to the federal police, which I did. But there was another thing. There were other, and good you brought that point out, because there were other females. They were so-called friends who started victim-shaming me, right?
It's wild. And even to think, going back to 2010, as you mentioned, when all these things were just starting to come out, it just feels like, even though this was around, it wasn't a thing back then. We just seem to know much more about it now.
And it still happens.
And it still
just
happens.
Just as much,
absolutely.
If not more.
Yeah, probably more, because there's more ways to do it. Nandita, thank you very much for sharing your story with us this morning. We appreciate your time.
Pleasure. Thank you so much.